Good morning. How's everybody doing? Everybody okay? Too hot, too cold? Too loud, too quiet? Just right. Okay, we'll go with that. Since nobody responded to any of those, it's just right? Yep, yes. Amen. What a great day already in the Lord. I just talking about the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? I'm not sure if we need to do any more announcements or interruptions or hallelujahs or praise the Lord's or what God is doing and moving. Anybody? Hallelujah. Okay, there's one. We'll take one. That's great. I think a lot of us you came to church and you're like, oh, I think it's Super Bowl Sunday or something. I can't remember, but I think it is. I know it's not as much of a thing anymore as for some reason. It could just be us. It could just be culture. It could be the world. It's probably all of the above. Talking about the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, I'm gonna zero in on a specific subject of God, the Holy Spirit, transforming us. And that work that he's doing in our lives, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. So I know that, you know, last week I tried to paint this like broad stroke of what the Holy Spirit is and does and who he is. You know, there's no way we could do that in 1 week. There's no way we could even do that with, honestly, the English language with all the words that I ever have, could have, or muster up. Just couldn't do it because God, the Holy Spirit, is even beyond our like capability of understanding and totally grasping all of his interactions, who he is, and you know all that happens is done, moved and moving by the Holy Spirit. He's transforming us, and that's what I love, that he's doing this great work right now, right this very moment. He's transforming us into the image of Christ, to make God the Father known through his Son Jesus, right? If that was it, if I could make a broad statement that says that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is transforming his people into the image of Christ to make God known through his Son Jesus. I mean, it's always the work that he's doing. He's doing that in all of us. He's doing that right now. He's been doing that, to be straight up, he's been doing it. Do you realize this? I got like 3 good pages of notes, but there's some stuff that God just like, I got to say. Is that okay? Yeah. Permission? Okay. Do you realize that God actually is moving, he's been moving in your life since the beginning of your life? Does that ever dawned on you? Before you knew him, before you could know him even, before even in your mother's womb, he was doing stuff in you. I'll move on because that's, yeah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 6. This is a verse I shared in my text, and says this, and this is out of the Passion Translation. Says this is the wonderful message that is being spread everywhere, powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth, just like it has changed you. Every believer of this good news bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience the reality of God's grace. I like how Paul refers to this to the Colossians, the fruit of eternal life. And then in the Galatians, he refers to it as the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that a whole nother week. Probably next week is where I feel like that's going next week, is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. In the future, we'll be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So a lot of the stuff that I think that we might like to just like unravel and see where God takes us. But let's get through this, and I think this is pretty awesome because the power of God is still at work. Hello? Go ahead. It's all right, Gina. I know. She's... Don't you love coming to the salt mine? It's pretty cool, huh? It's a church like none other. Yeah. Yeah. I No comment. Boys, are you paying attention? Yeah. Hey. The teenage mind. Who could know it? Yeah. Love that these teenagers are so... Come on, I got to tell you straight up. I love that these teenagers are so willing to say yes to anything they're asked to do. I love that. That's a God thing. Yeah, amen. Amen. Even if they need a little help doing it right, they love to, they say yes. Thank you, guys. Hunter, Joey. I like the Joeys in our church. I need to move on. Let's go. This is good. Because, see, the power of God is still at work changing hearts like yours and mine. Amen? Amen. And it's transforming us. He is transforming us into the image of Christ. So when Paul writes to the Galatians, he writes something at the end of this letter of the Galatians that's kind of, it ought to get your attention as it's gotten mine. It says this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. This is an interesting statement that I kind of just like, it jumped out at me as I was reading this, reading through the letters of Paul, because that's where you kind of find a lot of this writing about the Holy Spirit is the letters that Paul writes to the churches. As Paul, even at so many times, is sharing the gospel, but he's also sharing like this news, this good news that the Holy Spirit is here. He is alive. He is inside of you. And it's like that's like his first and foremost message. It's God the Spirit working inside of you. And the whole letter of Galatians, I'll read it in a second, is about that very thing. The whole context is about a people in a certain area that kind of got caught up into, in fact, he even refers to him as being deceived and even been somebody that called it, got caught under a curse almost of reverting back to the work of the flesh. In other words, you started in the Spirit. God the Spirit is the one that opened your eyes to see your need for Jesus, and you started there, and that's great, but then you reverted back to this other work called, let me do this now on my own accord. And he's saying, wait a second, come on, guys. And the whole letter is written with that in mind to deal with this issue of, like, stay in the Spirit as we have started in the Spirit. Let's continue to walk in the Spirit and remain in the Spirit of God, who is the one who saved you, called you, and is transforming you and will sustain you to keep you till the end of the age. Hallelujah. Come on. So amen. So let's go 15 and 16, chapter 6. Whew. Sometimes I've got to slow myself down. It says this, it doesn't matter. This is a New Living Translation. This is great. It doesn't matter. Almost like one of those, like, it doesn't, just, who did that? I don't know. Somebody did that. It just doesn't matter. Anyway. Is that ringing a bell? Yeah. Yeah, probably don't want to go there. Paul, it just doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. Now, to say that phrase to these people, because these people, the Jewish people at this time, this was what it was made up of to say it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not, that was a really big deal. That was like punching them right in the gut, because that's what mattered most. Going back to the Abrahamic covenant, say the word correctly, of that covenant was to show yourself as a follower of God, you needed to be circumcised. And if you weren't, then there was no evidence that you were a follower of God. You were a chosen person of God. And so that was an identification that you were one of God's chosen people. Circumcision. And now Paul comes up and says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What really counts is this. Is whether, so this ought to get our attention. What really counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That's what matters. That's what counts. And may God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are a new people of God. Amen. So that phrase, whether we've been transformed into a new creation, is what actually counts. It gets my attention and it ought to get yours. So I'd like to tackle two questions this week and next week. What does a transforming life look like? What does a transforming life look like? This is next week's topic. Now, it's a really simple answer, though. I promise you won't. Well, you might. What does it look like? Okay, we can say Jesus, 100%, yes. But what does that actually look like as Paul is, let's go back to some of Paul's stuff. What do you look like if you're being transformed? What's the evidence of the transforming work in your life? Maybe that's a better way to ask it. There you go, fruity. You look like a bunch of Fruit Loops, right? So that's what a transformed life looks like, a bunch of Fruit Loops. We're fruity. And we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit next week. But this week, I want to really focus on and settle into how does that actually work? How does that take place? The transformation. How does that work? If Paul is correct and he's writing, being led by the Holy Spirit and saying, what really matters and all that really counts is being transformed, and that there's this transforming work into a new creation. If that's all that really matters, I want to figure out, I want to know how that's actually taking place. I want to make sure that that's something that I'm doing that actually does matter. Right? Amen? Anybody with me? Come on, guys, let's go. Hallelujah. You guys know I do encourage you to interrupt and speak up, and I promise I'll try not to embarrass you if you say the wrong thing. I said try.
No promise.
Yeah. Well, how does it work? By grace through faith. Bottom line, simply, right? By grace through faith. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit's work making us like Christ, especially since that's what really matters. Another part of Paul's letters in Colossians chapter 2, he gets into an interesting subject that I think is pretty fantastic, because he's talking about this, the actual transforming work that's happening. And in Colossians 2, starting in verse 8, I'm going to read a couple different passages or scriptures in Colossians 2. First one in verse 8 says this. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Hello. I think that's something you need to, that'd be a good one to memorize before you click on any sort of social media, news station, or anything that's out there. Anything. YouTube-ish, whatever venue you go to listen to, watch, or listen to anything. Memorize this first. Don't let anything capture you. In other words, take you captive. Hello? Take you captive with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking, human reasoning, and from actually this, spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Do you hear what he's saying there? That's a really, really sincere warning. Don't let the stuff of this world capture you. The stuff of the enemy, the devil, the demonic powers capture you, take you captive with their philosophies, their thoughts, their reasonings. That, and then he goes on, and this is because it's interesting. You read that whole chapter of, you know what? Just read the whole Bible. It's really good. I was gonna say read the whole book of Colossians, but I'm thinking, where do you stop? It's all good. Starting in verse, then you could jump over to verse 20. So this is interesting as Paul writes this, because he sums up this whole thought pattern. It says, you have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world? Such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. Hello? Anybody make a New Year's resolution this year? Probably didn't even bother wasting any time. I think we're wise enough and smart enough, we don't even deal with that anymore, do we? Even trying to get out of 2020 was like, oh gosh, can we even get out of it? We still feel like we're stuck there. So is this a new year or not? I don't even know. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. These are rules that with mere human teaching about these things, they deteriorate as we use them. That's kind of what it's in line with. It's trying to make all these, put all these things upon yourself that really don't have any value, that don't really do the work that needs to get done. These rules, and this is what he says, he finishes it up, these rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But, and this is the best phrase, they provide no help whatsoever in conquering a person's evil desires. You know how I read that? Has no power to actually change you. Hello? And if that's all that matters is a transformed life to the image of Christ, these rules and this stuff has no power to change you. Do you hear what he's saying here? Boy, just see, it's really warm, or the heater's just kicking on, or I'm getting hot, or something's going on. Okay. I know as soon as we turn the heater down, we'd be freezing, but it's just getting warm, and it's... According to Paul, vain philosophies, in other words, they just go nowhere. How do I say it in a way that's, I'm just going to say everything that I feel like the Lord's compelling me to say. I encourage you, and let's do this even a little bit together, having an understanding of what humanism is. What is humanism? I need Blake in the room to help define it a little bit. But how I would define humanism, because I put vain philosophies in this category. Humanism, what is it? You might not even recognize it because we're so inundated, we're so indoctrinated with it from the world, from every angle, that we don't even recognize it as from what it is, because it almost has this, it 100% actually has this appearance of actual wisdom and actual smartness and even goodness. But what is it? You could say self-worship. It's putting the human, you as the person, as the pinnacle, as the number one priority in life. You are most important. Take care of you because you are the one that matters most. And all of, so much of when you listen to almost a lot of junk out there comes from humanism. And it sounds really, really good. On our own. It's promoting humanity to be able to do what only God can do at a level. Now, yeah, go ahead, Linda. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like it becomes a badge of honor, like hey, I did this on my own. That's a big deal there too. What Robin said is really good, is or that we can in our doings actually develop or even create order in a disorderly world. That I part of me almost sometimes chuckles at that idea, simply because all it takes is what does it take for us to like realize how kind of small we are? And that we need God. How about a wildfire, a windstorm, a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, a pandemic? We are out of control. We have no way to handle it because we don't have that ability. It's not ours to handle. And yet at the same time, we we developed this mindset, and it's developed and it's promoted in its vain, in its philosophies of this world. So it has no power to actually transform us, change us, even deal with the very thing that I and you struggle the most with, which is what? My evil desires, sin. I cannot get rid of my sin on my own. Can you? Okay, just making sure everybody in the room is on the same page, just in case there's one of you that might have said, no, yeah, I got it handled. We cannot. Yeah. And then he deals with this thing called asceticism, or powerful devotion. Asceticism is what? It's where we kind of mistreat, we harshly treat our own body to prove, to show, to say, this is a devotion that I have towards God. That doesn't even have the power to change you. Wow. So being really smart, it's not a bad thing. It's a really good thing. Can't change you. Being extremely devoted, even to the point of death, can't change you. Realize that? Have you? Okay. They all lack the power to transform you. So what actually does have the power to transform us? How does this work? How does this work? He said, I made it, like I said, the broad stroke of by grace through faith. Amen? No one will argue with that. Correct? No one will challenge that, because it is by grace through faith. But I will say this, and I want us to just like, let's dig into this a little deeper. Sometimes I think we're a little, and we are so quick to say, as we should, that it's the work of God that's doing the transforming in us. It's God doing it in us. We are really quick to say that, as we should. But we can't be so quick that we overlook our part in the process of the transformation. You guys ready to go on a little ride for a second? Because this might get a little gritty. To me, this is a very clear picture of grace, the transforming work, because it's the very clear picture that says it's God doing it, God doing all of it, but requiring all of you to get it done. Did you hear that? God does all the work, but requires all of you to get it done. Amen? And we need to remember that, because we sometimes will sit back and say, well, God, if you wanted me to change, you would change me. Has that worked for anybody ever? It's never worked for me. And I know it hasn't worked for anybody. It requires something on your part. So what is your part? What is our part? What is our part? I call it, I'm going to refer to it as the, and this was a shower moment. In other words, I was really asking the Lord, because I was like, God, how do you do this? And his first response, I'll be straight up with you, when I asked him, how do you do this transforming in us? You know, I know the Bible, and I know all these things, and I know. And his first response was this to me in my spirit was, it's really not for you to know. Like, well, but I want to know. So I asked further, Lord, I want to know. How do you do it? And he said, well, and it came to me these three keys to the transforming work that we involve ourselves, that we participate with God in. Okay, it's God doing it, but he requires all of us. And I call it I got really cute with God and said, oh, I can call it a triangle. Like, it requires every single side for it to work. So the transformation triangle goes like this: humility, obedience to God's word. Humble obedience to God's word. So let's do this. I'm going to discuss each of these topics real quick, or as quickly as possible. But I'm going to ask you to align yourself with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Is as we further discuss these, if the Holy Spirit actually dings you on something, here's the great news. When I say ding, it's like, oh yeah, that was me, or that is me. the great news behind this is that God the Holy Spirit is so willing to help you. You need to know that. He's not going to condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. But he might convict you and help you to move past and through something that might be holding you up in being transformed into the image of Christ. Humility. Humility always starts with Hugh. Not a guy named Hugh, actually you. Humility starts with you. It always starts with you. If you haven't realized it or not, this might be an eye-opener. You are the common denominator to all of your issues. That might be a tough one to swallow. Are they not your issues? You could be the common denominator to all of them. It could be you. What is that? That takes absolute humility. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said it this way. In Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what that actually phrase and that term actually means? Blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't mean that you are poor and you have no money and therefore cannot buy spiritual power. What does that actually mean? Humble, so much that to the point that you recognize, realize your own spiritual poverty. You see your lack. And you see and you notice, you recognize, you identify it as I am lacking. And I am the issue. That's the very first place that Jesus starts in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what do you get from it? The kingdom of God. Do you realize that? That you get, if you recognize and understand and realize and confess it and admit it, that I am the one with the issue, I get God's rule in my life. I get the kingdom of God because of it. Now, if I don't and I continue to actually look at, you know, we could go everywhere. Some of you can even start with your kids as the problem, and then it could be your spouse, and then of course your parents, and then your job, and then your you know, your governor, definitely your president. You know, and all these things are always the issue in my life. All these issues are there. And never look at you as the common denominator. Were you going to say something, brother?
Yeah, I'll say Rhiannon, because I've never talked to you myself.
Mm-hmm.
You use things that happen in your life.
100%.
And to justify their actions now, I do this because they...
Yes, yeah. That very act of justifying an act or justifying an attitude or a behavior or a characteristic because something happened to you will keep you in that place of captivity. Always. Always will keep you in that place of captivity. Now, where are we trying to get? Remember, where are we trying to get again? Transformation. The place where... You know, in every place in my life, listen, every place in my life, and you could probably testify the same, where I don't walk humbly and recognize my own spiritual poverty and my need to change and to do something different, is the actual place where pride always sneaks in and settles in into my heart. And the transforming work of the Holy Spirit actually gets quenched. Hello? I'm sharing from my own personal experience in that regard, and it's 100% accurate. Every place where pride sneaks in and settles in, transformation stops. Humility is always the way forward. And all these triangles, if you will, they all kind of interlink, they do. Because in that place, we can become obedient. We become obedient. And I believe this 100%, something I've always taught all of our kids, and Robin and I, it's the little things that matters most. Obedience to the little things are what matters most. Jesus taught it. And I think it's the obedience in just the smallest things is where we always need to stay, we need to stay grounded in. And we could go from pushing the grocery cart back into its stall where it's supposed to go, to to, you know, picking up a piece of trash when you see it there, just because it's like, you know, when we are obedient to the small things, I believe it's where God opens up the door for the bigger things. And we sometimes get focused on all the big things and we forget to be obedient in all the small things. The small things are what matter most. I'll tell you a little story of I'll call him a gentleman, but that's stretching it. This man was, I'm gonna try to be as vague as possible. It's just because I don't want you to feel like if you ride along with me somewhere, I'm gonna out some story. But this is something that I think God showed me. But right, Hunter? Yeah. Except Hunter, I could always tell his. This man was doing community service because he had gotten I can give you some specifics because it kind of goes in line with what's happens throughout this story. He'd gotten a DUI, and then in the DUI, because, you know, he didn't really remember him hitting a person, he drove off. So it was not only a DUI, but a hit and run. So he was doing community service. Of course, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault at all. It's just like, wow, okay, I don't know how you can blame that on everybody else, but he was. And this is where he at. So I needed him to give me a ride somewhere. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. That was all my fault. I thought, you know, I'm going to get to know this guy, see where he's at, but he wasn't interested in anything of the Lord. But and it dawned on me as we're driving, and I realized, you know, where it started, or where, maybe not started, but where it was in his life. This is an older guy too. You know, get in this pickup, and I put my seatbelt on, and he fails. He doesn't put his seatbelt on. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, got a little bit of a drive. It was about a 5-8 minute drive or so, about that. So, you know these semi newer vehicles. What do? They, if you don't put your seatbelt on, they sit there and ding at you the whole time, and it's going ding, 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 ding. You know, I've tried it in my truck, my pickup, and you know what it does? It goes ding, 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 and about 2 minutes later, ding, 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 ding. But then it gets, like, violent with me. Like, it starts yelling at me, like, going ding, 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 ding. Like, dude, put your seatbelt on. I kind of laugh at it. I was like, gosh, I just don't want to listen to the dinging. So, of course, I put my seatbelt on. This guy, I put my seatbelt on everywhere we go, but it was something. I guess I'm outing myself with. Anyway. I even talk on the phone sometimes when I'm driving. Ooh, I try to make it. Anyway, this isn't about me. I know. Good grief. I know, huh? I need to move on. This is good. Okay, so this is a really interesting story because I want you to really hear this for what the Holy Spirit wants to speak and not just about this. But as he was just ignoring the dinging and I couldn't ignore it, I asked him, it's like, dude, what's up? You know, you can just put it on. He's like, blank, blank, no, I am not conforming to their rules. I'm like, okay. So I said, well, hey, you know, you're a mechanic, because that's why I was having to give me a drive. It's like, can't you just, like, disconnect it, you know, so I don't have to listen to it? And he's like, ah, I tried already. It's like, this is where it's hardwired into the whole entire system. You cannot unhook it. There's no way and this is a mechanic that knows these vehicles, and he said, I can't do it. I tried. So instead, what's he do? He tunes it out. He ignores it as though it's not even there. Isn't this interesting that this is the work of the Holy Spirit? I believe this, and this is why I really stand on this. I believe, and it's because Scripture teaches it, and I've seen it, that every single human being is hardwired to hear God's voice. Hardwired. In other words, it cannot be removed. You know, Ecclesiastes puts it this way, is that God has put eternity in our hearts. We're hardwired to hear it. But we do this thing by continuously ignoring it, so much so that we become numb to the voice of God. So much so that we will find little ways to justify disobedience and even rebellion and justify it, rationalize it, because we just want to do what we want to do. And we got to be really careful, because I believe this is part of the triangle of transformation, is to be obedient in the small things. The little things matter the most. They really do. The little things matter the most. Because to me it was such a little thing to just ignore a seatbelt, but it was a really big deal, because what was the result? Here he's doing community service for living a life to doing whatever he wanted to do. So it wasn't working, and it doesn't work, it never works, to just do whatever you want to do. Obedience is key. It's super key to being transformed, isn't it? I know that seems like just like a no-brainer. It's like, well, yeah, do what God says to do. And that goes into the next aspect, I believe, of the triangle, which is God's word, is where we obey the word of God. God's word, listen to this, and I want to encourage you and challenge you to think, if I could say it as Paul says it, to think like me in this manner. God's word is life. God's word is truth. It's not a truth, it is the truth that we must stand on. God's word is the bread of life that we must live off of. God's word is the work that God takes and he uses to transform us. It's his word that we must fall in love with, to where I need it, I must have it, I need to eat it, I need to read it, I need to listen to it. It's life for my very soul. And if we haven't come there, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to get there. Okay? I'm just being very, very, very loving and genuine. If God's word isn't life to you, ask God, the Holy Spirit, to make it life to you. Because that's where the transformation takes place. So much so that, you know what, as I read God's word, as I eat it, as I take it in, he's got answers for everything. He's got answers for everything in life. Every issue of my heart, every issue I deal with people and myself, my marriage, raising my children, pastoring a church, he's got the answers. And when the Holy Spirit ignites and enlightens those answers through his word, it becomes life. Hello? That's awesome. Have a good ride, brother. Yeah. He's going on a ride. I'm just a little bit jealous. Anyway. Blake and I had a really good discussion. It was a small one, but it was enough to, I might want him to share like even deeper with all of us, because it's this reality that, or it's the issue, I would say. So many times we seek direction from God without tapping into what actually his word that gives us clear direction in so many of the issues. But we just don't want to go that direction with it. So we'll seek some other form of direction, like this, maybe, you know, and don't get me wrong, the peace of God in your heart is a real thing, but maybe I just need to be led by the peace of God. I need to have him tell me which way to go. And yet, you know, so much so that we sometimes will forget that his directions and his leading, his guiding is right there in his word. How many of you deal with the issue of Just this is a good example. How many of you deal with the issue of whether or not you should help somebody that's in need? On the street or on the corner or maybe your neighbor or stuff. And you say, well, I'll let God lead me and direct me. I'll let God, when God wants me to, he can tell me to do that. If God doesn't tell me, I'm just going to like, okay, that wasn't the right, I'm not the right person. How many of you wait for that kind of leading to before you do something? I hope none of you, but I know we deal with that because the Bible tells us to love and care for every single person that's in need. If you have the ability, I'm not joking. Jesus said this very words. If you have a dollar in your pocket and somebody comes to you and says, I need a dollar to do this, shame on you. And he said, you are worse than the heathen if you don't give him that dollar. Jesus' words. Jesus' words. Do you know how many times I'm convicted by those words? Just those simple words. Maybe not convicted, but compelled to obey those words. Those words. The words of God. The words of Jesus. To change me, transform me. I don't wait for some, something going on in my spirit here. I got to do something. I know, I like to act goofy sometimes. You don't need to wait for that. Just obey the word of God. Hello? I believe when we do that, we'll find ourselves hearing the voice of God. By when we obey the word of God. I believe it 100%. You know, John, I'm going to finish up because I think it's really fantastic. Jesus saying something, and there's so much more to be spoken on this, and we're going to get deeper and deeper into different areas of the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. So again, I encourage you, if you have any thoughts, questions, feel free to text me, and I could actually answer some of them, if not via phone call or text. We'll do it on a Sunday morning, because I think I said it last week, and I'll say it again. If you have the question, I'm sure somebody else does. Jesus, before he was leaving, said some things to his disciples. And I'm glad that he said them to his disciples because he's saying it to us too. In John 16:7, Jesus tells us that it's good for you that I'm going away. It's good for you that I'm going away. Why is it good for us that Jesus went away? Because we get the Holy Spirit. Yes, face-to-face with Jesus would be so awesome. How many of you are like, oh, I wish I could just been there and been face-to-face with Jesus? Yeah, all of us. But we get something even a little bit better. Jesus said it this way. That's why we could. I'm not offending Jesus by saying it's better to have the Holy Spirit. And it's good for us to have the Holy Spirit is now within us, living inside of us, relentlessly moving us, challenging us, changing us. Okay, can I ask you this question? I'm going to share this because I kind of got a little bit of permission to share it. Is if you were diagnosed with cancer, and I'll share good news, is my sister-in-law, or loving Leslie, was diagnosed with cancer. A small lump that was precisely, quickly, and successfully removed by the grace of God, by the power of Jesus, through a surgeon's hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, to get to where I think we're going to finish up here today, she and all of us who love her so dearly are so glad that a doctor looked at cancer as absolutely what it was. Cancer that had the capability of killing and destroying her very life. What if that doctor coddled that cancer and said, well, let's not call it cancer. Let's call it a little boo-boo. Hey, maybe we could kind of maybe see if it'll go away on its own, you know. Here, maybe you should just like start a whole new, let's change the way you eat, and let's make things a little bit so we don't want to offend the cancer. Baloney. No, but that's ridiculous. That's insanity. When we don't go into this walk with God, is like inviting the Holy Spirit to say, God, do your best in me. We're inviting God, the Holy Spirit, to identify sin as sin, like we want a doctor to identify cancer as cancer. Because that doctor identified it and caught it early, was able to nip it in the bud and get rid of it. Because it is what it is. And by the grace of God, it was what it was. And that's what God does inside of us. We've got to align ourselves. We've got to stay humble. Be obedient. And dig into God's word. Dig in. Eat it. Eat it like it's your life source. This time, as much as ever, depends on that. The transformation triangle. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that your love by your Spirit, never leaves us alone. So thankful that you, Jesus, by your grace, you took care of my sin at the cross. And you continue to do a mighty work in me and through each and every one of us, transforming us into your image, that we can make you known to a lost world, a dying world, a world that's full of cancer and needs a surgeon, needs you, Jesus. We love you. We're devoted to you. But we need your Holy Spirit to empower us, to fill us, to sustain us, to move us into deeper places, deeper levels, deeper trust, deeper faith. We need you, Jesus. Yeah. We need you, Holy Spirit. Now as much as ever, continue to do the work that you have started. And come back quickly. Hallelujah and amen.